All right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, welcome. This is The Buzz, Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. And, I mean, what a great song to kick this thing off right here on The Buzz. Oh, wow. Michael Jackson, Tonight. Oh, yeah, you there. You
just need hey.
To... Yeah, I can hear you loud and
clear. Oh, you can.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Man, we're just so excited. We're just so excited.
Oh, absolutely. Let me get in here in, okay, in StreamYard. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you'll be able to check us on tonight. Let's see, Twitter and Facebook for a while, yeah, until Facebook starts tripping. But I'm going to advise each and every one of you guys out there listening to us right now, for your better listening pleasure, I mean the ultimate, why don't you just download the app? Go to your Apple App Store and download Studio.W, okay? Android is simply Studio W. Also, feel free to visit the website, StudioWBuzz.com, StudioWBuzz.com. Subscribe and leave a comment, if you will. Okay, so, Professor, tonight.
Yes.
What are we doing tonight?
Okay.
I mentioned Michael Jackson, but there's more.
That's right. Today is the birth anniversary of the King of Pop, Michael Joseph Jackson, who would have been 64 years old today. Now, you go on social media, there's tributes, pictures, memes all over the place. Rhythm and blues stations, pop stations, adult contemporary stations, just Michael Jackson song hits all day. And you know, for, you know, the past, 13 years since he's left, it has occurred to me that for every birthday, you know, especially in radio, we just hear hits all day. And here's the thing. We hear hits all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. I did some homework, today, and I learned that, all over the world, there are an average of 2 Michael Jackson songs played every minute. Okay?
Incredible.
All over the world.
Incredible.
Now, get a load of this.
Incredible.
Get a load of this.
Okay.
Billie Jean is played once every 3 minutes all over the world.
Once every 3 minutes.
Once every 3 minutes. Still a golf from the Beatles yesterday, which is played every minute, but Billie Jean is played once every 3 minutes. So this got me thinking, you know, here at Studio W, we say every evening, every Monday evening, we say every week that we educate and entertain. So I thought, let's have a different spin with the King this week. Let's just do something different. So I'm being 100% honest with you, world. I'm being 100% honest with you, and I'm going to just give it to you. I'm going to throw it in your face. Mm-hmm. Tonight's show is entitled No Hits.
When I saw that, I said, what? And so as a matter of fact, you know, Caven put it up on Facebook and Twitter for us, right? And so I said, wait a minute, no, maybe the professor meant number one hits, he just left the one off. But then it occurred to me as I was going down the list,
mm-hmm.
and that was no mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But the thing is, now listen, I'm going to tell everyone, if you just sit back, relax, grab a glass, Studio W, Brad Motto, and listen, and you will be moving your furniture, you will be cutting a rug, you're going to cut a rug on the first one, but you're going to hear some great music. And this further illustrates what many in the business say. Just because something is a hit does not necessarily mean it's a good song. Okay.
That's right.
And of course, Jackson did have many hits that were
great songs.
Okay. But, we want to introduce some things, and there's going to be some gems. You're going to hear the closest thing to a jazz number from, Dr. Jackson. You're going to hear duets from, Minnie Riperton and, Stevie Wonder. Just incredible stuff.
Well, let's get started.
Let's go.
Monday Night Madness, musicology with a heavy dose of serotonin.
This here is, there's a chance for I'll tell you later. So I took my chance on loving you. No. But just one man can make you happy. You wanna have your cake and eat it too. Oh, you won't give up. You butter. You say you love to, but once given up, cause he can.
What you're thinking? their blues away. Now tell me what you say, babe. You can't take my blues away.
Thank you.
Smoothest. That is the example of the Jacksons' use of the wall of sound. Are you familiar with the wall of sound?
No, educate us, please.
The wall of sound is a production technique that was created by Phil Spector back in the 60s. And then what he did was he would take several instruments and double them, sometimes triple them. Bass track, bass player would say, it would do the same bass track three times, stack it on top of each other. Guitars, same guitar line by the same player, stack it on top of each other. So you would have this monstrosity of sound. So what the Jacksons were doing here on this song, they were using the string section, the string orchestra, to create this great big wall of sound there for Push Me Away. Push Me Away is very, very important. The guitar solo that you hear in the center of the song was the first guitar solo recorded on record by Tito Jackson. Now, when I was on a book tour for my book, Bless His Soul, which is about the Destiny album and how the Destiny album was so important in Jackson's life, in that it crafted his mature recording career, and it was the genesis of his becoming a man, which will culminate at his artistic peak 4 years later with the release of Thriller. When I was on tour for that, I would lecture, of course, you know. So what do? You give this big, great big lecture at a book signing, and then people buy it, and then they, you know, want your signature on it, of course. So during my lecture, I would talk about the importance of Push Me Away. And then there were a few millennials. I would talk about the importance of Tito Jackson's guitar solo. Some millennials at that time, they would say to me, big deal. It's a guitar solo. Yeah, it's a very big deal if you knew how Berry Gordy ran Motown and ran the career of the Jackson 5. And for half of their time at Motown, they insisted and bugged to play instruments, to compose their material, and Gordy refused. It seemed like after this first four number one hits in 1969 and 70, that was it. So with that being said, if you will allow me, the first song, Buttercup, that yes. we play, that was, speaking of Motown, that was an outtake from the Dancing Machine album. That was an outtake from that. And do you know who played the keyboards on
Have
that?
Have no idea.
A Steveland Morris.
Why would you ask me all of these difficult questions here, Professor?
Not difficult.
You're the professor. You can say that. You didn't give me any homework before this, all right?
I figured you can just listen and pick up the sound, you know.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder playing that keyboard, written.
See, folks, he tricked me into that one. He definitely tricked me into that one.
Written by Stevie Wonder and produced by Stevie Wonder. And it was kept off of Dancing Machine. It was kept off of that album. That was an outtake.
Amazing.
Yeah, and Blues Away, the second song we heard, very important, the very first recorded composition by Michael Jackson. He was 18 years old when he composed and wrote that song, and it also has the first vocal affectation from Michael Jackson in the first verse. So I'm giving the lyric is, so I'm giving you some time to think it over today, and he goes, but that's the first vocal affectation, 18 years old.
Genius. Mm-hmm. No question about it. Hey, we have more because this, also known as the King of Pop, if I believe.
Correct.
Okay. You have a book.
That's right.
That you wrote and I read several years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And will you give us the title of that book?
Bless His Soul, The Agony, The Ecstasy, and the Destiny of Michael Jackson. You can find it. Second edition is on sale on Amazon.com. Oh. Check it out.
Hey, it's a great read. It's a great read. You know, I'm going to move on after this, but I have to tell this quick story.
Please.
Okay. There was a young man that was living in my home in Southern California,
mm-hmm.
and he was only 14 years old.
Wow.
And you remember this because I introduced you to him because I had no idea. I was talking about you and the Monday Night Madness show
book.
And he said, yep, I read that.
Oh, man, that's wonderful.
This is yeah.
Well, before too long, he will read about a very classic blaxploitation film in a few months.
Oh, boy.
You'll read about that.
Okay.
It's coming.
The Jacksons.
Ah.
That's what you got.
Profundity.
From the Destiny album.
About you, you and me, and every little thing that
From the Off the Wall album, I Can't Help It, MJ.
Looking in my mirror took me by surprise. I can't help but see you running often through my mind. You're helpless like a baby.
Can't help it. Michael Jackson. Hey, that's from the Off the Wall album. Oh, yes. You remember that, Jim. Don't stop till you get enough rock with you, working day and night. Get on the floor, off the wall, girlfriend. She's out of my life. Oh, my goodness. I can't help it. I did like that jam on that album, right? And let me just complete the list. It's Falling in Love, Burn the Disco Out. Yes. Absolutely, Professor. No question about it.
You like that jam?
Oh, yes, I did. I love that jam.
That was another Stevie composition.
Thank you for tricking me again.
Okay, I'm going to trick you.
No, further. See, okay, okay. I'm going to get it. I have to get him back. And I will get him.
No, you don't have to worry about this because I think you've heard this before. I think you know this. What is the connection between Stevie Wonder and the Jackson family?
Well, he's with Motown.
Deeper than that.
See. I do not know the answer.
I'm giving him a hint.
No.
And then some of you on StreamYard, you see the hint. He is the third cousin on the Screws side of the family. Yeah. It's
I never knew that.
Okay.
No, I did not.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is Monday Night Madness. Aren't we supposed to learn on this program right here? You are the professor, okay?
Yeah, okay. Man. You know?
I just happen to be the host of the show. That's all.
Now, just think the connections that we have here. Stevie is all through what we're doing tonight. You know, Minnie Riperton is coming up. There's going to be connection there with that. So, hey.
And I'm not answering any more questions. Okay. I'm just telling you right up front. Okay. Hey, folks. No. Monday Night Madness. Let's explain. Professor, let's tell the audience what this is all about.
Yes.
This is musicology with a heavy dose of serotonin. Right? We are sonic archaeologists. We go back, we dig up the gems, okay? But the professor is the professor for a reason. That's why he's my co-host.
Thank you, brother.
Okay. So he's going to throw out some questions. You throw them out to the audience, okay? All right. And then I'll get the answers.
Okay. I like
but
it.
No,
I dig it.
I like the idea a whole lot better, too. But no, actually, but that Off the Wall album, remember Kula and Green with the Soul Savage show?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And there was a discussion of which album was better, Thriller or Off the Wall.
She always did those competition things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, I really love both albums.
I do too, yeah.
I love both albums, but for different reasons.
Right, yes.
The Off the Wall album was a little more laid back, in my opinion, jazzy, bluesy type thing. And the Thriller album was a jam session.
It was a jam session, and it was the whole objective of Thriller was blockbuster commercial success, which is what happened.
Oh, and I did. Is that the number one album?
Of all time.
Of all time.
Yes.
Off the top of your head, how many albums did it? I mean, I knew it had to go platinum. It had to go platinum.
10 times platinum, was it? I got to look that up. Now, I might be wrong. Let's not, don't take that.
We'll, okay.
I'm serious.
No, my heart just skipped a beat because platinum is the ultimate if I'm concerned, right?
Yes.
And 10 times?
Million.
That's incredibly crazy.
Okay.
Oh my God. That thing will be drawing royalties forever.
Yes. Definite.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness. Shh. I said 32 times platinum.
Folks, that's $1 billion. And, you know, using simple math, that's $1 billion right there. Mm-hmm. It's got to be. It has to be. Oh, look. That is absolutely incredible.
When you pull back the layers and study this man, study his achievements, and then you study the successes and the achievements he made, I'm going to get a little on my lower self. I'm going to go down to my lower self. But when you find out some of these achievements and successes, certain things make sense. Mm-hmm. And that's all I'm going to say.
Okay. Well said, Professor. Folks, look, check out Monday Night Madness, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, the website. All you have to do.
Who's listening?
Yes, him. Okay. Folks, you can check out all of our shows. See, Studio W, this show is, particular one is so unique because There is, in my opinion, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's no other musicology show like this on the planet. None. Zero. Right? Because if it's not the professor and I, then it ain't happening, all right? So, but the thing I'm saying is, to break it down, to give you the life, the legacy, the background, I mean, just everything about these particular artists. And I think, to me, it's like putting cream in your coffee.
Mm.
You know?
That's a good way to look at it.
You flavor this thing up a little bit,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Hey. But so, Professor, tell the audience, in your opinion, what is Monday Night Madness?
Monday Night Madness. We put the cream in your coffee.
Oh, Lord. He's been taking music lessons, folks. Anyway, go on, please.
Yes. Not only do you have this wonderful, wonderful music for 3 hours to reminisce, to move the furniture, cut a rug, or snuggle up with your boo, or to just listen with an academic ear, you're going to learn about these people. You're going to learn about their lives, where they were born, where were they from, how did they grow up, what was happening in their lives when they were composing this music, what was happening in their lives, what was happening in their careers when they were in the recording studio recording this music, what was happening on the road, what was happening in the hallways of those venues, and what was happening in those record companies, in those executive boardrooms. Okay.
Uh-oh.
All
Uh-oh.
Of
some you may
things.
Not want to know about. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. True. Yeah. Dress room, boardrooms, yeah. But anyway, now, hey, Kim Rogers, you're so funny. She sent me these funny memes of people just jamming in the background.
All right.
Hey, Kim. Hey, you know, 7-Up is there. She's always
7-Up.
There. Oh, absolutely.
I'm going to have to bring a 6-pack of 7-Ups one day in her honor.
Yeah, please do. I like 7-Up. Okay. Absolutely. Hey, look, there's more to come. But, folks, last night, Professor, boy.
Which was a good show.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Folks, if you like Monday Night Madness, you'll also like Sunday Night Gold. And, unfortunately, my co-host, the jazzy one,
yeah,
she was under the weather a little bit.
Yes.
I found out later.
Oh, okay.
But you know what? I had to rock the joint. I had to rock it.
And you rocked it.
Look, I was having as much fun as the audience.
Yeah.
I was getting text messages. I got one from you also.
A couple.
You did.
Yeah. We're going to have to call you Dr. Smooth Jazz.
Oh, man, I like that one, too. You're going to make me drop down to my bird white voice over here.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, that is really my natural voice.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it is, really. Okay. It goes up when I get excited. Studio W, the bus, your global radio network.
A cappella. Okay.
You're not like anybody I ever knew. But that don't mean that I don't know where we are. And though I find myself attracted to you, this time I'm trying not to go too far. Cause no matter how it starts, it ends the same. Someone's always doing someone more. Trading in the passion for that taste of pain. It's only gonna happen again. It's the falling in love that's making me high. It's the being in love that makes me cry. It's the falling in love that's making me high. It's the being in love that makes me cry all night. And now we're just a web of mystery, a possibility of more to come. I'd rather leave the fantasy of what might be, but here I go falling again. It's the falling in love that's making me high. It's the being in love that makes me cry. It's the falling in love that's making me high. It's the being in love that makes me cry. It's the falling in love that's making me high. It's the being in love that makes me cry, cry, cry. It's the falling in love that's making me high. Yeah. It's the being in love that makes me cry, 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 cry over you all night. You got me falling in love, got me falling in love. Cry, cry, cry. It's the falling in love that's making me high. It's the being in love that makes me cry, cry, cry. It's the falling in love that's making me high. It's the being in love that makes me cry, cry, cry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm falling in love. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm falling in love. Yeah. It's the falling in love that's making me high. It's the being in love that makes me cry, cry, cry. It's the falling in love that's making me high. It's the being in love that makes me cry, cry, cry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm falling in love, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm falling in love. It's the falling in love that's making me high. It's the being in love that makes me, yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lonely in my darkened room, sad and weary, persevering in the hope that she can stay in and come back to me. Is it possible she's thinking of me at all? Have I gone too far? If only I had shown her love. Suffering inside to see her rise. Thank you.
time waits for no one. That's the Jacksons there.
What a great Quiet Storm. That was written, not written by him, but by Jackie and Randy.
I had no idea.
Which he just sings a lead on, and I'm going to suspect backing vocals on that as well.
Mm-hmm. Was it Funk Brothers backing them up?
No, 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 no. This is in the CBS epic years. So you have, you have folks like Michael Cimbello, of course, Greg Philigains, Arnold McCullough, who came to fame as James Taylor's backing singer, and you know, those folks. You got that L.A. session,
yes,
click.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like it too. Yeah. It definitely does. Mm-hmm. The acapella, I played that, and I played throughout. I just wanted to hear, you know, and I just sit back and listen, you know, and I'm saying, wait a minute, hold it, okay. All right, this is Michael Jackson, no instruments. Wow. And I hadn't heard it before. Okay, I don't know what you had or not.
Not the acapella track. And then they cut out Patty Austin's verse, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Yeah.
And she was singing acapella as well.
Well, no. See, there's a track. It's the Falling in Love.
With I understand.
Full.
Okay. It was just Michael's, he's doing his thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I understand. All mm-hmm. right. So, mm-hmm. with Patty also, obviously, she recorded hers with the instrumentation behind her.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. I got mm-hmm. it. So, and to me, it just seemed like he was in, like, in a practice session, so to speak, you know, getting his vocals together, you know, mm-hmm. before, you know, he get on and do it along with the instrumentation.
Oh, okay.
That's, mm-hmm. that's I wasn't there, obviously, but that's my interpretation
okay,
of it all.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because often, you know, as a singer, you know, well, I might sit back and I might sing something.
Mm-hmm.
And I might sing an acapella.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't have any instrumentation behind me.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to hear what I'm about to sing to see if that, if it is in tune.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Which is oftentimes why in the intro of songs, the lead singer will croon or, you know, scat before they actually start singing words mm-hmm. because you want to make sure that they're in key.
That's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. Speaking of that, there was a show on, and perhaps you can help me with the title of this show.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't last, but I loved it. And it was all of these acapella groups that would do, it would sound like, instrumentation would be like they would come from their mouths, so to speak, on some of these groups, you know, and they would emulate maybe a guitar or bass guitar or horn or something like that. And these guys are singing. I'm trying to think of the name of that show, but having said that, there were some acapella groups that were blow your mind. And some will have as few as three, but some will have like six or seven. And there were even, colleges that had these acapella groups on campus, you know?
Yeah.
And they went to this show. It was just like any other these shows where certain groups are eliminated, then you come down to.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Okay.
Asamundo.
But it was great. Wow. I've got to find this out. And the reason why I'm heading towards that is because it's enough material there that we could do an entire show on that.
Acapella, yeah.
Good
idea.
Oh, my God. Ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to me right now, you know the name of the show that I was speaking of.
Please text
it to me. 909-910-0265. And, I mean, these mm-hmm. cats were awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like Rockapella and groups like that.
You know what? That sounds like one of those groups.
Rockapella is good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One of those groups. Mm-hmm. There are several out here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'll blow you away.
All right.
And I'm tell you what, because people don't realize your voice is an instrument.
It's the original instrument.
Come on. Mm-hmm. All right. we're speaking of Melanie Roperton and Michael Jackson. I'm in love again.
Get a load of this one, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in love again. This time I think that it's for real. I'm in love again. I think I know just how you feel. It's like Christmas morning and finding the toy of a dream. And that's the way you make me feel, girl. And that's the way that it should be. Thank you.
Diana Ross. Muscles.
There's a story.
Okay.
To that. And you probably, some people are probably wondering, why is a Diana Ross song
on this list?
Mm-hmm. It was written and produced by Jackson himself. And the song came about after a very long trip to England in 1981. There was a song that was released in 1983. I think a lot of us know the song. It's called Say, Say, Say. And it was a duet between Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. That song was actually recorded in 1981. This was the period between 1980 and 1982 when McCartney was recording two albums at the same time. He recorded an album called Tug of War and an album called Pipes of Peace. Pipes of Peace was the one where Jackson was on with two songs. And Tug of War is the one where Stevie Wonder was on with Ebony and Ivory. There was also two songs for that one as well. Okay. And it was also on that trip. It was a life-changing trip for Jackson. The one thing was he was exposed to two-door architecture. And he loved the two-door style architecture so much that when he returned back to L.A. to his home, Havenhurst, he remodeled the home in the two-door style. So when you look at the home, all you have to do is just type in Havenhurst. Type in Michael Jackson Havenhurst on Google, and you will see the style. And he was sort of the definitely not the contractor, but he was the head of that
remodeling.
That remodeling, definitely at that time. Okay, so that's number one. The second reason of that trip that was life-changing was McCartney introduced